So, look, first things first, hello and welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Second thing, congratulations on the Born and Bred podcast.
Thank you very much.
Unbelievable. And you've managed to do, in your first episode, higher quality, better guests, better production than I have at episode 300. So massive, massive congrats.
And that was nothing to do with Simone and I. That is purely to do with the team behind us.
But 100%. See, this thing, you have the ability to give stuff to other people. Mm-hmm. I am slowly trying to become that. So that's actually still a you thing. So congratulations.
But also you did the groundwork for the Born and Bred podcast. Like,
So
the Best of Belfast podcast, they listened to every episode and they were like, that's a really great concept. Let's do the same thing.
this will be so awkward, right? Because I'm going to say, I hadn't listened to your podcast before we started doing our podcast. Okay.
Ooh.
So, wow. I mean, that sounds horrible, but I'm trying to make it
the country,
out
obviously.
To say that I didn't copy it. And then afterwards I was like, oh yeah, that is a bit similar.
Well, imitations is the greatest form of flattery. And then also good ideas. You know, you ever like see someone do something, you're like, mate, I came up with that idea like 10 years ago. Good ideas. They're just.
Pablo Picasso once said.
Oh, here we go.
Good artists copy, but great artists steal.
Boom. Ooh. Essentialism.
But,
35.
But also that's the thing. So like in school you're taught like don't copy each other's work.
Yeah.
And then what we notice in business is like if someone's doing it well, copy them.
Bro, come on.
So like the whole system is broken.
It is broken.
Don't totally fix broken. What isn't broken.
Exactly.
Oh, I platitude central today.
This is good. This is your role for it. You're fulfilling the co-host role very, very well. The job description was throw as many Instagram quotes as you possibly can with our guests today.
Be a walking Pinterest.
You are.
So third things third. Mike, congratulations on marrying Cara. Well done.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. How did you guys meet? What's your story? Actually, what's your engagement story?
We're going to go there.
Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to
go with the first meeting?
I'll go with the first meeting story because it's probably as good as the engagement story.
Great. Well, skip the engagement story.
So I'll not tell any of the stories because I'm
Tell you just
stories.
Give me prompts.
These for this 15 minutes.
Fill in the wee details.
Can you not speak for 15 minutes? Yeah. Cool. Don't talk not listen to my podcast. Flip's sake.
So way back when, my cousin was entered into a CrossFit competition. I think it was a four-persons team event up on the North Coast. And at the time, we had a caravan up there. So he said to me, why don't you come up for the weekend? Like, come and watch me competing in this CrossFit competition. So I was like, class, let's go. And I think it was half term because my mum and dad went. So my mum's a teacher. So she was off. So it was the three of us went up and went around this CrossFit competition on a Saturday morning. And the place was packed, right? It was like just in a barn, right? It's really small, packed out room.
I mean that metaphorically, and I was trying to understand what does like in a barn mean. It was an actual barn,
on a caravan site. So random. Anyway, head in, right? Music's pumping, and I think I might have been a little bit late for the first event for my cousin, right? So I cruised in, I saw him, but then literally, as soon as I saw him, then I was just drawn to this incredibly stunning, hardworking young female, right?
I thought he was talking about you for a second.
Close.
Well.
Sorry.
And as the story goes, I basically spent no time chatting with my cousin, hanging out with my cousin, the one who had invited me there because on his team was Cara. So we quickly, I made the connection. Realised that she was an avid lover of coffee. And then later in the day, I was going to Lost and Found for lunch. So went there. And because I'd made the connection, I was like, add her on Facebook, send her a photo of Lost and Found.
You didn't add. Straight into the DMs.
Oh, class. Who needs friendship?
This was before sliding into the DMs was actually a thing.
I know.
Well, when you said Facebook, I was like, right, so it's like 2001, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I was six.
You're shout out to 95.
Yeah. She was slinging weights about when she was four. So that was it. Just sent her a photo of my coffee and the rest is history.
Wow. And how long have you been married for?
Silence.
3.5, almost years.
Wow.
Yeah. September 19.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole undergraduate degree.
Literally.
You guys have a degree in marriage?
No, I didn't do one.
Oh.
We're probably sitting at about a 2-1, solid 2-1.
Mate, 2-1
run. I was going to say, like, where are you heading with this?
You'll take a 2-1.
Yeah, 2-1's great.
So first question for you, Mike, is how would you rate your marriage in terms of a university grade? Your lovely wife said 2-1. How do you feel?
I would say, I would probably have to agree with that.
Yeah.
I was going to say first, but there's probably a few things we could work on, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like we've asked the right people onto the show for today.
Yeah.
LP.
Yeah. I'm lucky enough, like, because I know them both so well. And whenever, you know, we were thinking about doing this, I was like, who will I take on? Because there's a lot of people that you could get on and have a really interesting convo. But I was like, I want to actually talk to Mike and Cara and like dissect it, because it's one of my favorite things, because like I am the opposite of you, the complete antithesis, as they say. So like I'm not married, not lucky enough to be married just yet. I haven't met the one, the love of my life. And so like your reality is such a stark contrast to what I'm used to in terms of the commitment, how the relationship works. Like it's a partnership, it's a working thing. Right. And it baffles me because, you know, like one thing I want to talk to you about, right? And there's a bit of a story, as with everything, you'll get an 8-minute intro with everything I do. Like
the timer's running. You've about 8.5.
That's 7.5 more minutes than I need. But no, listen, so I was watching, you're never going to get this, but I was watching a Netflix documentary show. Obviously, you and I both love our comedy. And I was watching Chris Rock, and he's got this show on Netflix called Tambourine. And I was like, what a shit name for a comedy special. But anyway, it was good enough to lure me in. So obviously it wasn't shit like. But I sat in, started watching it, and essentially the essence of it is that sometimes in a relationship or in a marriage especially, you have to be, you know, the guy in the back holding the tambourine while watching your partner go out and shine, you know, go out, do their thing, express what it is that their passions, hobbies, interests, you know. So like, I'm fascinated by this because this was a concept. Maybe it's because I'm a little selfish, I don't know. Or maybe it's because I haven't had to go to that depth yet. But like the tambourine, Mike, this is something that I like to talk to you about, but I never feel like I get it right whenever I'm... Because you're like, no, this is normal. Like this is what... And I am like, what are you talking about? This isn't normal. So like, you know, when Cara goes out and does her football or does her CrossFit or does all those projects, you know, what does that mean for you? Do you put your life on hold? Do you support that? Do you know what I mean? Do you know where I'm going with that?
So the funny thing is, and we have had this conversation before, right? But I feel like you only see it from that side because you're like driven by also that kind of like elite performance, uh-huh. like all that sort of thing. But you got to remember that in the start of our marriage, I was also running a business and making no money from it. Mm-hmm. And I was living like my dream. And so Cara, in effect, was almost like the one that was doing the mundane, like she was the one keeping the beat.
Mm-hmm. Big breadwinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
But like the bacon bringer.
But it is. Like, but that's just any relationship. Like, I think you like if you're both on the stage, then like something in the background is going to slip. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So like,
maybe, and it's probably, then it's probably my immaturity, but like, was that something that you had to, grow into or come like to know yourself, if that makes sense? Or was that a steep learning curve?
No, I don't think so. I think that's just how any like good partnership works, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter whether you're like in a relationship with someone or like you're working alongside someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're both doing the exact same thing all the time, then you're not going to get the task probably complete, mm-hmm. like whatever you're working towards. So like I would think I'm very self-aware, but I also think you're very like Cara knows herself, like is very like real.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, yeah, I don't know, it's just
I've always seen it from your perspective too, Lewis, like that I always look at Michael and think he's the one always making the sacrifices for me, but maybe he doesn't see it the same way, you know, that he looks like you said, whenever you were trying to run a business and trying to pursue your thing, that I was giving up things as well. But I always look at myself as like the selfish one.
Mm-hmm.
And I could never put myself in his shoes, and I could never be like the supporter or the coach. You know, I admire coaches so much and look at those people and think like, you know, how do you give yourself to someone else, like, mm-hmm. and not pursue like your own passion? Mm-hmm. But that is their passion, you know, is to be there for other people. But I think there is obviously a difference in people. And, you know, some people are coaches and motivators and supporters, and then other people are the ones that have to be like out there on the floor as such. And I don't think that either one is negative or positive.
Yeah.
But I always sometimes then look at myself and go, maybe that's a negative, that I can't be selfless enough to like be the one who's, you know, in the background as such.
Yeah.
But and that's another thing that we've spoken about. Like, I would consider myself like an advocate.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I love when other people win.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I just love that. So like, whether it be in relationship or business or sport, like, I don't know, there's just not as much joy in it for me whenever I'm the one on the podium. Do you know what I mean?
And I can't understand that mindset.
Yeah, can't understand
and
that.
And you probably can't either. You struggle
well,
with that?
Well, like, I love seeing people get after it, and like, you know, if they've worked hard on something, achieving that, that's epic. But like, I'm on Cara's boat right now, because that's just, we look at the world through the similar lens in that sense. And that's why I'm always dumbfounded whenever you give me these incredibly simple answers to what is an incredibly intricate question in my head. And I'm like, nope, he's definitely
But
right.
I think I get a lot of energy from like watching someone pursue that thing that they're so passionate about. So going back to the first day, like, I saw Cara. Mm-hmm. The thing that caught my eye was like, she was so like single minded, like so focused on what she was doing, and like it was almost as if nobody else could get in her way. Mm-hmm. You know, she had the goal, and like she was the one getting there first. Like, and that was the thing for me. I was like, this is incredible.
And I think immediately then, that's why from that moment I was like, this guy's the one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, someone who sees that in me, and that's the first thing that they pick out about me. Like, I would never have pictured myself in a CrossFit space being like, this is where somebody will be attracted to me. You know, whenever I'm like drenched in sweat, like slobber coming out of my mouth, because, and I'm suffering,
you know,
and someone's like, I love that.
Yeah,
like,
she's hot.
That was going to be my next question. So, like, obviously, that's what attracted. Because I was going to ask you. So that's obviously something that attracted you to see, but then like you just countered that. That's something that you were attracted to in Mike, and that if I hear someone that actually wants to genuinely support my ambitions and my goals and be there for me, whether it's pretty or ugly,
yeah.
And that's something that's even interesting for me to hear you say that. Like, I'm very surprised. Do you strike up similar things within your marriage than that?
I definitely relate to what you were saying, this idea of like, you take turns in different seasons of your marriage. So like, my wife's German, and so like, we met in America and we moved over here and didn't plan to stay here, and yet here we are. And she was the bringer of bacon for probably like the first 3 years of our marriage. So I was studying, I was working for Deliveroo, I was trying to get an Instagram page called Best of Belfast off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I was writing for money, I had no real clue what I was doing. And she was a full-time nurse, so she was pulling the 50-hour weeks in ICU, real hard graft, and she was the financial bedrock for us. And I felt like, my wife would never have kind of put it this way, but like throughout those years, I kind of had this sense, and I don't know if you felt like this too, Mike, but I was like, okay, like, I'm accruing almost like a form of debt, and it will be my pleasure to pay that back to you someday. And for Jackie, like, that thing was having kids. So she always wanted to have kids. She always wanted to be really available for the kids the first few years. And that kind of gave me like a clock, like a countdown. I was like, wow. I have to get my business sorted so that I can give Jackie what she wants. Do you know what I mean? And so now that role's completely reversed, where I am the one working, I'm the one providing for the family, and I'm enabling her to do the thing that she wants to do. And it just so happens that I'm really delighted for that for our family as well.
Mm.
But I was thinking about you, like, I think a lot of people in hospitality, you use the word energy. You're like, I get my energy from this. And I remember having someone on the podcast way back in the day, I think it was Bill Woolsey, like merchant hotel guy.
Mm.
And he said, hospitality sets the stage for people to live their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think right. like you get a lot of joy out of setting the stage for other people to thrive. Because yeah. not everyone, let's keep the stage metaphor going, right?
That's it.
Not everyone can be Lady Gaga, exactly. right?
Yeah.
But Lady Gaga has a massive team around her who they yeah. just want to see her win.
The term, the way I picture it is a band, right? You've got your lead singer, lead guitarist, up shredding, getting all the love from the fans. You know the most important person in a band is the drummer? And they get zero, like little to no recognition or like none of that stardom or celebrity as like the lead singer would. And that's why it's an interesting concept for me because like sometimes you're sitting playing drums in the back while Cara's out, you know, lead singing and playing football for Northern Ireland, mm-hmm. you know, and that's where it comes from. But speaking of hospitality, that's a massive common ground for you, right? So Mike, for a lot of people that don't know, is a serial entrepreneur. Actually, tell us how many businesses you've tried to start.
Tell us how many Instagram pages.
The last 3 years.
I was going to say.
How many URLs do you own?
one just expired last week and I was toying with keeping it or not.
So I have a problem. I have over 100 URLs. And so it means like once a month I'm getting, one of them is expiring. Yeah. And I'm like, it's probably like a gambling addiction. Yeah. Because I'm like, pay another 20 quid yeah. to see if it works? I don't know.
Am I ever going to use this? Probably not. I'll keep it anyway. Yeah. It'd probably be easier to answer the question like how many have I tried to start in the last 3 weeks?
Yeah. yeah.
No, in the last, like it's funny, the last 3 years, I have. I was going to say the last 3 years I haven't really done much, but
sorry,
I have.
You're not sober. You're working on it. You relapsed a few times.
Yeah.
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 Pray for you, bro.
I think
my goodness, you're a business addict.
Whenever
like an Instagram page. Yeah. We need to have him.
Yeah. Whenever you said earlier about addict minds, I was like, something just clicked with me. Well, two things clicked with me. One, I was like, am I addicted to like the whole business thing, you know, where like I just work because
yeah.
I just get a thrill from it.
You love it.
Right? But then I was like, I've always seen Cara as like really driven. But is she addicted?
I'm so happy that you chose to air this on our podcast.
I know.
Yeah.
This is going to be great.
These are the things that go on in my mind. And then I'll just...
Here, I would love Julian Simmons to be narrating this. And on this week's episode of Best of Belfast, Mike falls out with Cara. And it's juicy.
What was the original question?
I want to derail this. Sorry, I'm going to step in. I want to stay on relationship stuff for most of this because I think it's going to be cool. It's where the fertile ground is. No, redeem yourself. Where you want to go?
Yeah, I was going to take it to hospitality.
Dude.
Mike's obviously an entrepreneur. We don't need to go into that right now. But they had this epic wee business out of a horse box. That was like one of our initial like things we done together. We were going to do stuff and then just got it made elsewhere. But yeah, so they had this epic wee 3x2. Tell me about that. That was like your first project together.
Yeah, flip. What was that? It was before we were married.
Yeah.
Yeah. You text me one day and said...
Was this on Facebook or Bebo or
MSN Messenger?
MSN Messenger. He just sent you a nudge and a wink.
We were talking about this last week.
Oh.
No, we'd managed to move the relationship to WhatsApp. No, we were going out at this point. Like, I'd come home from Iceland and we were property together. And I think you said something along the lines of, yo, hypothetically, what would you do with a horse box if we had one, say? And
picture him.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it, I don't care. Out of sight of, like, you know, like Brad Pitt, the pikey in the movie Snatch.
Yeah.
He's at, like, outside his caravan and he's about to buy it. And he's like, so hypothetically.
He was.
I think you were standing.
Like,
you could have been standing at Ray's, like, standing in front of the horse box.
I can confirm whenever I ask Cara what we would do with it.
He had bought it.
I had already bought it.
The man's business addict. There's the proof.
Like, I'd agreed to buy it. So the funny thing is...
Oh, Seal agreed. So, yeah. No, the mortgage hadn't been taken out yet.
No. I took it from the guy I supposedly bought it off and didn't give him anything for it for months. So I just sort of, I sold him the dream as well that I will make money off this and when I do, I will pay you for it.
I love this so much.
I mean, that's an elite salesman.
I know.
Mm. Yeah, that's like a salesman so powerful, you've just rationalized burglary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah.
That's what he's done.
Straight up, changed the number plate in the back of it. It's mine now.
There you go.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Does a horse box have one of those wee V20 or VO2 things?
It has. It has a wee, yeah, wee chassis number on the axle or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a chassis number or whatever, but it does. It has a wee... How's we number?
It's one of those words I've never said out loud before. I've only ever seen it in my MOT thing.
Mm.
So is that a chassis?
Are you were thinking that I got the angle grinder out, weren't you?
Well, I was curious.
Yeah, I did.
I didn't say that.
I ground it off, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fair play.
We live in Ards.
Anyway, I want to hear about three by
two. Yeah, back to that.
And working together.
Yeah. So then we just started ripping the horse box apart and renovated it. I think... We said at the beginning, we were like, it's going to be pizza and coffee.
Yeah.
I think when you text me that question, what would you do with the horse box? I think that's what I came back with. And you're like, solid, I agree, let's go. And then we just started the renovations. Like, if anybody doesn't know, Michael is like a phenomenal handyman, like just knows how to do everything.
Didn't know that about you.
Boggles me.
Incredible. Oh, yeah. Like if you ask him about any sort of DIY, he's just like, you need to do this. I'm like, how? You've never actually done this before,
yeah.
But you know what you need to do. Like, how? You're not, there's a bit of sort of figuring it out as you go. I don't know whether you really do. And I'm just like, wow.
I know, yeah. Again, I just sell you the dream.
Sell
you
the dream.
I can tell you anything.
YouTube video
later. I can tell you anything.
Yeah, so that was like my first probably real experience of like how good you are at doing that sort of thing. And we just did it all ourselves along with your papa pretty much. We just asked, could we leave it in his yard? And we would come and work on it and paint it and ripped it out. And yeah.
So I also work with my wife before getting married. And we described it as accelerated dating. Because,
I like that.
Because what you experience in, say, 6 months of working together in close quarters,
yep.
It takes 5 years of dating to actually get to. Give us a story, give us a moment, give us a something from that time.
I think the...
What did it teach you about each other? There's a better question.
Ooh. That I'm the project manager.
I love Cara. This is unbelievable.
See, so Cara's...
Like, that was my title, and I got that from that point probably and have maintained it ever since in everything that we've stepped into.
So what does that mean? Like, you're the deadline woman. You're like, this has to happen at this time. Mike, stop starting 10 more things. We actually just need... No, it's pizza and coffee. We're not doing sushi. Put all that away.
I don't want to say like that I'm the creative mind, because you're super creative as well.
Mm.
But I think maybe I am more of the visionary. I don't know. And then you're just like, this is the practicality, of how it happens.
Awesome title.
Yeah.
Way better than project manager.
Yeah. So it's funny. I never really take photos of things, right? But Cara is a photo person. So she captures all the moments.
Mm-hmm.
So any moments that I did capture in the creation stage of 3x2, it was of Cara capturing the moment. There was never any of Cara like actually
vlog everything,
actually
doing the work. Yeah, but skipping ahead then to whenever the whole thing was live and we were like doing events and things, I remember one day we did, do you remember church day we did?
Yeah.
Where was that? Castlewellan.
Yeah.
So we had an event in the morning. Was that? That was a CrossFit thing? Reebok?
Yes, yeah.
So we did a CrossFit event in the morning. It was just like the gym had like a coffee morning on, so we're literally just doing coffees at it. And then a mate of ours asked us to come and do like his church day out and do pizzas for them. So he was so vague whenever he was explaining to us, like, here's how many people are going to be there, here's what's happening. Told me it was in Castlewellan Country Park. I was like, okay, mate, just get permission, you know, so we can rock up and just tell them, like, you know, it's a private thing. Like, we're not selling to the public. Mate, I don't know who we sold to that day, but literally we came away about £1,500 up. And I was like, how on earth did that just happen? My mum and brother were with us, and we just kept sending them off to buy more stuff. Buy more ingredients.
I was wondering how you managed the stock, but that's how you did it.
It was crazy. But like the funny thing was, so my brother listened to this, right? And this kind of sounds like I'm slagging him off, right? He's Steve was so creative. right? So he's like, he's a visionary. He sees things with like rainbows and butterflies, right? But you see, when it gets to the like nitty gritty, like you just need to shut up and work. He just has to tell a story, right? So like Cara and I were just heads down, like just slinging pizzas out. Like Steve was on the coffee, but like he was taking too long.
With everything.
He's like trying to make a connection with every single customer and all this year. But like that day, literally, I don't think we spoke a word. I would have made the pizzas. So then Cara then threw them in the oven, made sure they were cooked, sliced them up, whatever. But it was literally, we were like getting an order. You know, the sheet was coming in front of me. I was just firing it out real quickly, firing it across the Cara. She's up in. And like there was just, it was just flow, like,
yeah,
it was so, so good. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we're like, how did that just happen? But it did, like. So
I think it's a really good quality to share. See, to have the ability just to make it happen,
mm-hmm.
like, and get the head down,
yeah, mm-hmm.
like, serves you so well, because there's times in life where like you just need that. And I don't know what it would be like to be married to someone who couldn't go to that place.
Yeah,
yeah.
Be tough.
Mm.
Something that always baffles me, we used to, is just sheer alignment, like pure, like the fact is both love Liverpool, right? You both love coffee, both sports mad. Like I would consider enlightened people, both just very nice, dead on people as well. Like, call it luck, call it, you know, the grand architect bringing it all together, or God or whatever.
I love how you skirted around the word God and then we're like, okay, yeah, God.
I want to cover all, because like a lot of people have different perspectives on
for all the grand architect mm-hmm. religious cult listening.
Yeah.
So like, do you feel like you've got lucky with each other? Well, obviously, like, you have to. You can't say no on a podcast.
No, I mean, like, obviously.
She said
so.
No.
No, obviously. Here, read that back. Pringles.
I do, all the time.
I'm going to insert this in here because it's the right place to do it as well. I wanted to ask you guys about the one. Do you believe in the one?
Yeah. We'll have to. That was our first dance song.
Yeah. Code line.
So like, code line aside, do you believe in the one?
Wow. Somewhat I do and somewhat I don't. I mean, I feel like Cara is the one.
Yeah.
Well, she's your one now.
Yeah, she is my one.
Yeah.
But like, the concept that like on a planet of how many billions of people, nearly eight, you know, like
that you couldn't you, have you, that
yeah, you can't
connection.
Connect with more than one person. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Cara is my one.
Yeah, of course she is.
So
yeah, and you don't like, I don't need to obviously go searching for anything else, because everything that I would have wanted, like, I've found. So
that's so lovely, isn't it?
That is lovely. I might clip that for you guys for like a wedding anniversary TikTok special.
Yeah.
Do you believe in the one? You were the one that said the words.
Yeah, I'm a soppy.
You're a one guy?
Yeah, defos. But the thing is, like, even, you know, what I picked up on there is like, users, I have spent time around yous. Like, Mike literally thinks the sun shines out of your ass. All right.
What a way to put it. You
add perspective, right?
You and your metaphors.
But whenever you ask them about the one, he still sits back and he thinks logically, because, like, you know, for me, I'm emotional and sad. I'd be like, yes, of course, look at her. Like, I'd be like, fucking, you know, all the lights pointing. And then, but he's still like, so, but they're both so logically grounded mm-hmm. about it as well. Like, they're both realists.
I just think that's a question that's bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like, in the grand scheme of things, like, that's a massive question. So
I don't believe in the one.
You don't?
No, definitely not.
Through just because of logic or because of like,
well, like through for a lot of reasons. I think a lot of marriage is making it work.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I think like you could marry. Is it helpful to be aligned to the person that you're marrying? 100%. It's going to make those early years especially way easier.
Yeah.
Because as you guys know, when you get married, there's a lot of knocking off the rough edges.
Yeah.
You know, and I think so that alignment is helpful for that. But I think like if you look throughout history, not everyone got to choose who they married.
That's true.
Mm. If like, God forbid, like, my wife passed away, I'd like to think that I would be able to find somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So there's clearly not just one.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I don't like the idea of the one, because I think it gives people this kind of, like, fairy tale where it's like, find the one and everything else will fall into place.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I think it's more like choose a good one and then throw everything you can at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Like for me, like I'm not, me and Pringles are the only one in the room not married. So we have unique.
Hey, you don't know that about producer Ross.
Daniel, are you married?
No one's supposed to know yet.
Don't tell his mum.
And they're expecting their third.
But like, so, you know, like I'm a dreamer, you know, I love like the beautiful poetic parts of life, right?
Absolutely.
And so I always looked at love in that lens or through that lens, but now I'm realizing it is so much about like how symbiotic are your lives, how aligned are you? Like there needs to be, you know, you need healthy contrast, but you need like a fundamental amount of similarities so you're not going to hate each other. Or at least you need that in the, and like you said, in the initial stages to know that there's kind of like a foundation there that you could build a relationship on.
So let's do this. Like you're responsible for managing a lot of people in your work, right? What's the most important thing whenever you're hiring somebody?
I don't know. That's a really broad question for me to answer. Maybe like, their weaknesses or strengths.
As an organization,
for example,
like how do you determine like this is the right person, this is the right seat?
Oh yeah, it's the right head for the right seat. You know, you're looking at the role and what do you need for that role, kind of thing.
I don't think it's much different for relationships. I think you're looking for aligned values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm.
And then I think everything else, because you can't teach values, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they always say. I think as long as you and your partner have aligned values, you're going to be able to overcome. I'll hit you with a wee bit of DeMello. So, you know, in Awareness, he talks about how every 7 years, every single cell in your body
is changed.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, on a physical level, you're not the same person that you were 7 years ago.
Blows my mind.
That's crazy. Yeah. And I remember...
Is that where, like, the seven-year itch thing comes from?
Possibly, because it's a new person.
Mm.
But I remember reading a marriage book before our wedding, and the guy mentioned some sort of like Dutch philosopher. I had no idea who it is. And the quote was something like, I've slept with 20 different women during my marriage and all of them have been my wife. And the point he was making was that you always marry a stranger because 7 years from now, forget about the physical cell thing, people change.
Mm.
Like how long have you guys known each other?
Since 2017 we first met.
Yeah, February 2017.
Like that's 6 years.
Yeah.
Like, what's Mike like now in comparison to what he was 6 years ago?
I'm a lot grumpier. It's nothing to do with Cara, though.
Just
I promise.
Just to clear that up.
A lot more mature.
Forgot how to have fun.
That's a different word for boring, is it? I think a lot more clear in what you want to go after. Like we've obviously talked about the million different businesses and yeah, you're still kind of trying to figure that out. But yeah, just a lot more driven and yeah, just like all around healthier and more secure in yourself. And I think that has come from each other and we've definitely helped each other along that journey. And I feel so much more secure in myself because of my relationship with you.
Mm. I know the word I was going to use was grounded.
Yeah.
For both of us. Because I know even like in the early stages, like, so Cara obviously plays football and there's always like, you know, should we go here and play or should we go there and play? And it's like, just be where you are. Like, just be where you are and like enjoy it right now. And if something comes along, sweet, we'll pursue it. And if it doesn't, it's fine. We're happy where we are.
Yeah.
You know, so like, yeah. And I think as well, I would have been the same where it's like the grass is always greener.
Mm.
But like actually, you just make the most of what you're doing in the moment. Like,
bro, have you heard this quote? I hope you have. Well, actually, no, I hope you haven't. You ever heard that thing where it's like the grass will always be greener unless you water what's in front of you?
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
I'm in.
Hey, I just took your job there. It was a wee platitude. Sorry, man. Sorry. I need to stay in my station.
Stay in your lane, mate.
You can ask the next question as a penance. I'm sorry.
Why am I here?
Well, no, why are we all here? No, my joke.
Oh.
I think the point I was trying to make was though, like, yeah, like imagine like what Mike's going to be like in 50 years.
Yeah.
Like, mostly unrecognizable.
Yeah.
And so there has to be something about a relationship that's more than just like, oh, this person is perfect for me because of X, Y, and Z. It's like the vows you make on your wedding day. Have you ever actually thought about them?
Thought back on them?
They are crazy. Mm. They are scary.
It's like an it's a like
mate, a in sickness and in health.
We wrote our own.
We wrote our own and left that bit out.
Did you write your own?
It's the modern way, bro.
Yeah. So Cara's kind of like Lewis when it comes to sickness. So here's the story.
Oh, man.
So a couple of weeks ago, I had my first trip on the Stenoline. Right.
Congratulations.
I'm 20. What am I? 28.
Stenoline wants to sponsor this episode.
Yeah.
Reach out.
Well, all I'm going to say after that trip, other service providers are available.
Never mind, Stenoline, you're all
good. So I had my first trip on the Steno on the way home at 3 a.m. I was up booking, right? I was seasick. And Lewis and I were sharing a cabin. The boy didn't even roll over. He didn't even, like, I was, you want to hear the noises coming out of me?
I was
going
to serve
like,
you when you have kids, mate, honestly. Yeah.
Didn't even roll over. But two nights after we got married as well. Oh, yeah. Two nights after we got married, it was kind of like we had a few days between wedding and honeymoon. We'd gone out for dinner, because obviously everybody gives you, like, money and vouchers and all this sort of things. So we had a voucher, went out for dinner. And I got food poisoning, right?
Can't name the place.
Literally, yeah. Literally.
We haven't been back.
As soon as my head hit the pillow, I was like, I'm going to be sick. Got up, sprinted to the bathroom. I was in the bathroom for 45 minutes. And the whole time, Cara stayed in her bed. Didn't come to hold my hair back or anything like that. What are you laughing at?
That's a wee joke. That's a wee joke for the YouTube watchers.
Yeah.
The audio listeners. Apologies.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the sickness and health thing. That's why we removed it.
Yeah.
We knew it was unachievable
as soon as the sickness would come.
It just wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. I get that. Well, like, at least
my lack of sympathy is a big problem. Like,
no, it's not a problem.
Maybe I just think it's a problem. I wish I could be more sympathetic.
Because, like, we're talking so much about how it's all great, but what are the contrasts? Like, what is, where is
this? Is this therapy or is this?
Oh, this is therapy.
It's therapy for us.
Yeah. This is, for the record, this is the most self-serving podcast I've ever done because I'm like asking 21 questions that I'd be asking you.
And you're even taking notes as well.
Damn right, I'm taking notes.
If 50
I've
Cent
no luck.
Wants to sponsor this podcast with the song 21 Questions. Yeah.
This podcast isn't even
well
live.
He forgot to hit record.
Imagine.
But yeah, friction points. Talk to me.
I have a thing called misophonia.
I wanted to bring this up. This is good.
I think,
do you know what it is?
I think this is made up.
That sounds like a potential point of tension, but we'll slide past that. The definition I saw, and I did see three, the one I preferred the most was someone who gets emotionally affected by everyday noises.
Yeah.
Now,
I didn't know this.
Talk to me about the emotional aspect to that. Like, are you angry?
Anger.
Are you angry? Okay, yep.
Pure anger. Like,
no way.
Like, clenched fists to the point where, yeah, it's like I'm about to scream. I'm not angry. I know.
I'm going to make a solemn pledge to you, okay? If you tell us the noises that trigger you, I promise you we won't make them.
Okay.
What are the noises that trigger you?
Mike breathing.
Somebody breathed.
Yeah. Did you know we live in separate houses?
I just assumed it was like, you know, an upper class thing, separate bedrooms, that sort of vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
Car rolls over.
Did you miss the point where we said we live in
one more time.
Noisy eating.
Okay.
Oh, well, that's...
Where's everybody?
Roscoe. You put that, put those Pringles down.
That's why I
step
told
away
him.
From
that's
the Pringles.
I it was nothing to do with me. I just knew Cara would be over there.
But it probably won't have the same like emotional reaction for most people where they're like clenching their fists and like ready to scream. You're just like, could you not do that? That's a bit annoying.
We're in a restaurant. We're in Tribal Burger and I order 15 buffalo wings.
And I'm
properly slurping them. On a scale of 0 to 100, where do you go?
Like ready to flip the tables. Yeah.
Like
that angry?
Mm-hmm. Like on a number. Like give me a number.
in between 1 and 100?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like 90s.
Seriously? So, like, is there another example in your life of a 90 that you can share? I don't want any. This is not Jeremy Kyle, okay? So give me something you can share.
Oh, I don't know if there's anything that tops the eating. Like, even sneezing will get me.
Right, so here's...
Oh, brother.
Here's the thing.
It's like a try not to laugh. This podcast turned into try not to sneeze.
I have...
Hay fever.
I do.
Yes.
But... But worse...
Oh, Lord.
Worse than that, right?
Right.
I'm just a sensitive person, right?
Okay.
So... You wear aftershave.
I don't, but
no.
I,
but
I'll play
you,
along.
If you wore no, aftershave,
wore this podcast,
yeah.
If you wore aftershave and walked past me,
yeah.
9 times out of 10, it'll make me sneeze.
Right.
Right. Perfume makes me sneeze.
Yeah.
Like, one of the biggest sacrifices I made recently for Cara was buying her really nice perfume that she liked. Right.
I'll forgive you.
Even though I know as soon as she puts that on.
It's not good for either.
It's not. Yeah, exactly.
What type of a sick husband are you?
I know.
You're like, it's a Friday night. You know what we should do? Have a scale 90 argument.
So
now we get the pack of Raban out here.
If I sneeze once, I sneeze 11 times.
You can't just do one.
I can't
sneeze.
Oh, it's like Pringles.
Oh, so yeah.
So sneezing,
funny.
Like over-exaggerated coughing whenever people just are going over the top with it.
That also
kind of
ties
ones.
Into your lack of sympathy for sick people. You're like, would you cut that out?
I would
we
say,
all know you're faking.
I would say that's like bled into like part of who you are because you're like minus sympathetic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could be lying there with a broken wrist and you'd be like, all right, mate.
But see, the worst part about it is whenever I sneeze, it's not a problem.
So I was going to ask you, if you hear yourself make that noise.
No, if I hear myself eating noisily.
You're like, cut the grip.
I'm like, get a grip, Cara. Literally.
Sneezing and she's like.
She's like, throwing her plate across the room and all.
Yeah. I had this conversation with my brother because my brother's the exact same.
Oh,
we
goodness.
Both have this
see?
Thing. Yeah.
Right, and is it so like. Mayo what?
Misophonia.
Sorry, I was like nowhere near. Misophonia. And is this like, do you know, is it genetic? Is it biological? Did you have parents that were like, if I hear you sneeze one more time, you're going to sit on the naughty step for 3 hours?
Or did
no,
you just
No, but my dad
up?
Was a really noisy eater.
Right.
So I think that irritated us all. But I mean, my mom wasn't like, getting to the point of extreme anger the same way that we were. There's a girl in...
Your mum's very understanding.
I hope she doesn't listen to this, but like, there's a girl in my work even that like has this real exaggerated laugh.
I'm going to send it to her.
And I'm going to... She's like laughing away on the phone like, okay, bye-bye. Right? And I'm like... Stop it!
Nothing's funny.
Wow. So first year...
Such a problem.
First year of marriage, is it everything people say it is? Is it the worst year of your life? Is it unbelievably hard? Are you at each other's throats?
First year was COVID, pretty much.
First year was class.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were kind of like, some people would probably think it really difficult, but like literally we got married and 4 months later we're like thrust into lockdown. So like pretty much what, I don't know, 6 or 9 months, however mm-hmm. long that thing went on for. Like we were just, it was just the two of us.
Yeah.
But it was class.
But like we just found... projects to do like built the shed and worked on the garden and whatever else we decided to do in that point and yeah no it was great, we loved it.
These are just best mates.
We are
yeah we
mates.
Are
That's so funny. Mike,
do you think I could take the rest of the afternoon off so I could just hang out with her?
Mate, if I gave you that, you take me up on that every day. So I learned a fun factoid about Mike recently.
Right.
I never realised how much this man loves darts. So I can't mind what we were talking. This is only like 3 or 4 weeks ago, but this is like a lifelong thing, right? And he's like, oh, well, do you watch the darts or I can't mind it? And I was like,
would have been around the time of the World Championships.
Well, whenever that was. Yeah. For, you
Christmas
know,
time.
I'm normal. Nobody, like, I don't know when darts is going on. Neither there's anybody
You've
else.
Just offended my whole audience.
I know.
They're all professional dart players. I have 12 listeners, but and that's all of them.
You will not be back.
Do you know when you learn something about, like, one of your pals? Like, I've known Mike a right bit of time now, and, like, it was just something that, in my head, didn't add up, you know, based on how I perceived him and how I'd come to know him. And this new passion of darts, or was not even a new passion.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah, but I can't believe the level at which you love it. Because, you know, there's a dartboard in the gym, and we'd done a few sessions, done a few shows in it, like. But I was like, oh, surely that's just a bit of fun. But no.
Every day.
He goes, I'm driving down to Armagh at the weekend. For context, Mike's a Newton Archman, so that's a right aisle drive. And I was like, oh, what are you doing? Getting darts.
Getting darts?
Getting darts.
Yeah, I was going to buy new darts. Get them in Armagh. Shout out the darts.
You can't
city.
Do that stuff online. You've got to.
You gotta feel the dart.
This is what
wow.
you said to me.
Yeah. I might get you back for a niche dart episode.
Mate, I would love to.
You would love that.
And you know who I'd bring on?
Who's that?
Cara's brother.
Really?
The two of us, our goal, or one of our goals in life, probably more so for him, is that we would love to be pro darts players. Okay, what's coming next?
Who is, like, the dart player in Northern Ireland that's alive?
Josh Rock.
Right, if I get Josh Rock on the podcast, will you interview him with me?
Mate, honestly, like...
Okay.
I've heard him on a podcast before.
Careful what your next words are.
Because you're about to ruin the show.
Because we're about to... We're trying to get this guy on the show.
I was just going to say he's class.
Yeah!
But what I was going to say was...
Josh.
I think in that case, I might just like literally sit and stare at him.
Right. Everyone needs a bit of eyeball affirmation.
Don't meet your idols, Mike.
Don't meet your idols.
Don't meet your heroes.
I think Josh and I would hit it off.
Really?
Yeah.
The more important question, I think, in the middle of all this is, why did you keep this from Louis for so long? You guys have been close. The darts is clearly important to you.
So
why would you hold that a secret?
An obsession recently.
Yeah, but so darts, I think darts has only really become cool probably in the last year or 18 months.
And you kind of thought it was... you just didn't get it initially.
I didn't get it initially. So Cara's family introduced me to darts.
So we watch it every Christmas together.
This blew my mind.
That's how niche is that?
So, yeah.
This will watch my mind.
We'll watch any sport going. We'll watch anything, right?
I love that. You're like so pent up. There's nothing on. What are we going on? Is that darts? Yes, get it on.
Literally, me, my brother and my dad will watch anything. And my mum to an extent as yeah. well. Yeah, she's always, well, she probably just had no choice, but she's big into her sports as well. So like tennis and athletics is kind of their mum's two sports, and that's where I would bond with her the most. And then dad and Adam, it's like football, darts, kind of everything else, really.
Yeah.
So we would have watched it every year. And then I think the first year you spent Christmas with us and we were watching it, you were like, I can't believe you do this.
Yeah, what the
You went
hell
back to your family, you were like, you'll never guess what the Milligans do around Christmas.
You did. You believed in the one just then, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, oh, I thought she was the one. But after that...
Is darts not a trigger for you, though?
With the noise of the dart hitting the dartboard?
So, like, darts, I've never seen darts, so I'm just making this up. I imagine darts is a little bit like chess. And what I mean by that is there's moments of extreme silence. And in that silence, you're going to hear a lot of people coughing.
No, there's no silence in darts.
No,
like,
no silence,
no
in,
silence
darts.
In darts. It's, maybe if you're
it's
playing.
A big, it's a big, you go, it's a day out on the
What
drink
sort place. Of music plays in the background?
Oh, like it's mostly
is it like levels? DJ Cammy? Mm-hmm.
Well, it can be, but it's mostly like as the darts are taking place, it's mostly like chanting.
It's like a night out.
Is it really?
I swear, this is why whenever Mike told me everything I know about darts and everything I know about Mike does not add up. It doesn't compute, like it shouldn't work.
But if Mike was a song, what would Mike be?
If Mike was a song, oh, I could go a lot of different ways with this.
L'amour toujours.
L'amour toujours. No, Mike's more like an indie rock, like the Kooks or like, you know.
I'll take that.
Razorlight, that's Mike in a song.
Razorlight?
Mike would be like Only in America.
Have you decided your darts walk on song? Yeah. You've got to have an entrance.
Great question.
Song.
That is
that's
good.
What it was.
Le Mort du Jour.
Yeah, Le Mort du Jour.
And your darts name?
Jim Neal, loves that song.
Because I just think, like, when I make it, I can just hear people chanting, Mike Hamilton.
It's been thought of.
Wow.
I've designed my own shirt and all that.
No, you haven't. Yeah. Have
do,
you actually?
Do you have a dart name? What's the correct dart? This language has tripped me up. Even when you say when darts are taking place, I'm like, my Grammarly in my head's been like, there's no way that's what it is. But it clearly is.
You call him Mike the Hammerhead.
Is it a dartist?
Hamilton.
Mike the a dartist. It's just a darts player, mate.
Darts player, right?
Yeah.
No, cool. Do you not have a, like, it's like a box, like a ring name?
I will. Yeah, everybody has a.
What's yours?
Right.
I haven't got
fuck
there yet.
I don't believe tell that. The truth and
I don't
the
believe
devil.
That if you've made your I don't believe that if you've made your
so
shirt.
When you said no, so I've come up with our team name.
Which
see,
is?
There it is.
Yeah. Right, so
do you have it on Instagram?
No.
Oh boy.
So I'm not going to tell
you
what it is.
Do you want to make a quick 20 quid?
I'm not going to tell you what it is. So basically, Cara's brother is going to Manchester to do a masters in September. No. But the first thing he told me about the uni was they have a darts team. That was like the first thing for him. Like he plays rugby at a pretty high level. And the first thing he checked was, do they have a darts team?
So Mike's enrolled in a part-time uni degree to play on the darts team.
I'm away in September, lads.
Here, Cara, see the spread with thing?
Yeah.
Not for me.
How about it? Yeah. So the team name is Maverick.
I like that.
Yeah. And it's just based off definition, you know, it's a bit like, it's kind of out there, it's a bit...
Bit edgy,
yeah.
We're a darts team, but we're an edgy darts
team. Yeah, we're an edgy darts team.
We're not like other darts teams.
No, we don't like drink beer and get fat and all that. Like,
we provide for our families and our respectable husbands.
Yeah.
But we're also Mavericks.
Yeah, we're a bit more Maverick, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
How did you end up in Iceland? And we're leaving the relationship segment. Are you happy?
Mate, so happy. I'm exhausted.
Okay, yeah.
Good. Like, I've never sweat so much. Like, we are not. You kind of made us out to be like...
Well, here's the number one relationship expert in the whole island of Ireland. Mike and Karen Nesbitt.
I definitely think it's right to move on because it'll add so much context, you know, with like, especially talking about CS football and stuff.
So Iceland.
Yeah.
How does one get there?
Football took me there. I was in final year of uni. And I was actually in a CrossFit gym at the time, sitting on an assault bike. Phone rings, and this team from Iceland had got in contact with me.
The whole team.
The whole team.
Yeah. We're on live.
We're going to change it.
Oh, Gara!
And they said, we've been given your contact details, and we want to sign someone in the upcoming window. There's like 4 days left in the transfer window. Do you want to come? Pretty much. And my uni year had kind of just ended. Classes had just finished. I had a couple of exams to sit, but the semester was finished. And I was like, yeah, great time to go. Only downside was that I'd met Michael in the February. And
that was the downside.
Bummer, dude.
And we were at that point of like, how serious is this?
I hate that.
And I was like, surely you won't be too gutted if I clear off here for a couple of months. Because it was the season just runs through the summer and then I needed to come back. No, sorry, I must have been in my penultimate year of uni. And I'll come back in the October and finish my final year at Queen's. So, went there and played there from like May until October. I came back.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's class.
Would you like to do a new segment on the show?
Which is?
We do this with all of our guests, so it's not that new. It's called 3 pop quiz questions about Iceland.
Okay,
We're just going to make it up right now, okay?
It's our most popular.
Yeah, mate, we've asked everyone these questions. We've asked Mason these questions.
Foyvant smashed this up. He was like, Iceland, I've been there before.
Do you want to read the first question?
Yeah, let me just get my paper, just getting the questions here ready.
Here, I'll do the first one for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, you go the first one.
Yeah, yeah. I never, you didn't wear your glasses, better. Right? What is the capital of Iceland?
Reykjavik.
Nice. Ding, ding, ding. Number two, what type... Sorry, I stole your thunder. Go ahead.
What is the second most visited tourist destination in Iceland?
Oh.
CrossFit Reykjavik.
Oh, she's on
I actually think it's number one.
I think it might
You're
be number one.
You're telling me it
now.
Beats the Blue Lagoon?
Yeah, so like, that's...
I mean, is that a thing?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Wow. Yo, yeah.
You can see why this segment either, is so popular amongst our listeners.
Exactly. It's either first or... See how well informed we
blown.
Are. It's either first or second most visited tourist attraction in the whole of Iceland.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Number three, what type of unusual hot dog do they eat in Iceland?
Pass.
It's not a Frankfurt or a Butterverse.
Oh, good pronunciation on the nice. Butterverse. You clearly know someone from South Africa.
Yeah, I do.
Wow. I believe it's lamb. They eat all these lamb hot dogs.
Well, yeah, there are a lot of
bonkers
lambs.
Well, so two out of three cars not into the final, is she?
No.
No,
it's not a knockout. You just keep going.
Oh, so it changed. Oh, sorry.
Do you have one more while I do the final question?
Spot the competitive one here.
No.
Yeah, I would have got that question right.
What?
Ask me three questions about Iceland.
Kicking her out of her own
what
segment.
What is the national sport of Iceland?
Handball.
Wow.
Well,
final question so from confident. Us, Cara. What was the name of the volcano that erupted that stopped all those planes with the ash cloud? And extra point if you can pronounce it. Oh my word, she's got it. She's going to do it.
Eyjafjallajökull.
Oh, she actually did it! Cara, you are the first and only winner of this segment. As a result, I find this beside me. It's a small bottle of job opportunity.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Whoa.
That's phenomenal.
Crazy.
I didn't think whenever we pull this team together today, I did not think we would complete the Icelandic quiz.
You're the first guest ever out of 300 people that
ever,
did it.
Phenomenal. Ever passed it.
That is incredible.
True story. I thought you were going to ask her what was the make and model of the car. She crashed in Iceland.
Oh, and with that.
So this is great, because my next question is, how did you crash that car?
And whose car was it?
No, add some context.
Right.
Because I haven't heard the story.
So I lived with...
By the way, I love that whole thing there, more than I should have.
What?
That recycling, just put that over us.
So I lived with one of the board members of the club that I was playing for. So she had this huge house. She was actually she was divorced from an ex Premier League football player. So they had stacks of money.
It was just the fact that you were like, she was married. No, actually, she was divorced.
They were like, it was so awkward. They were still kind of going through the divorce and stuff whenever I was living there. And it was all very bizarre.
Cara's just sitting there eating her dinner.
I get up for breakfast in the morning being like, oh, sorry.
You shut up.
Back downstairs.
You what's worse is the husband chewed his food out.
Sorry, actually, there's no more lamb hot dogs left. Can someone get me some?
So I was living with her, and so she had a spare car, and she said to me, "You can just take that and just run about in it all over Iceland, so you can go on weekend trips and, you know, do whatever you want to do and be completely independent." So it was great. So one day, I think I'd got up early in the morning to go to a CrossFit class, and I was reversing out of the car park, and it was an automatic, so I'd never driven an automatic before, and I was driving on the other side of the road, had no insurance, sure what could go wrong. So I was still kind of getting used to the car, and I just I put it into reverse and completely floored it and reversed right back into this car that was parked behind me. Big massive bang, and I got out of the car, quick check of their car, and was like, oh, theirs looks fine. Looked at mine, quick scan. It's grand. How have I not wrecked this car? This is amazing. So quickly jumped in, was like, somebody's going to come, because somebody's going to have heard that. Drove back to the house. And whenever I got out at the house and then re-inspected the car, It was wrecked. The whole like bottom right side of the bumper was just completely smashed in and like hanging down. And it was like that bit in Wolf of Wall Street, you know, where he thinks the car's fine. And then whenever he's like sobered up, he's like, oh no. So then I was like, what do I do? What do I say to the woman's name was Ragna, who owned the car. I was like, what am I going to do when she comes
Ragna,
home from work later? So I was also living with another girl who had been drafted in to play from the team. She was Canadian. And she came to me like a couple hours later. The car was just parked outside of the house. And she was like, I'm going to go downtown for a little bit to meet someone. I was like, cool. You taking the car? Yeah, I'm taking the car. Okay, I was like, sweet, grand. So she drove off in the car downtown.
No, you didn't.
She didn't say anything to me.
Did she really?
And then whenever she'd come back from her coffee date or whatever, she then sends me a message, a picture of the back of the car, and was like, Cara, you'll never guess what happened. Whenever I was downtown, somebody crashed into our car and has wrecked it. And I replied and was like, oh no, that's awful.
I think you need to deduct a point from the Iceland quiz.
So then we just continued this narrative. So then whenever we did have to tell Ragna, we were like, some person drove into us downtown and they didn't even leave a note on the car to say that they'd done it. And we don't know who did it.
You know what Icelanders are like? Terrible.
That is so terrible. Funny. And like for context, like this is very out of your like this is not your nature. Like normally like you're very
is it not?
Well, I don't know. Like that's not how I would know say like
I just hate being like told off or shouted at or doing something wrong. Like I was such a good like such a wee suck up whenever I was in primary school and whatever. Like I hated being told off, so that's probably where that's come from.
That's unbelievable. That's
I didn't want to be.
Where'd you live?
Just outside of Reykjavik.
Nice. Yeah. I stayed in a wee place called Selfoss.
Oh yeah
like I don't know what it is. It's like the Icelandic equivalent of like Anahilt probably.
It's kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. But that's most of the country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 2/3 of the population live in the capital and then it's just like whoosh.
Yeah, then you just drive for hours and see like two houses.
Did you do the whole ring road?
Not the entire thing. Like we tried to sightsee as much as possible. So like did most of the waterfalls, cool. Did the Blue Lagoon a couple of times because I knew someone who was working there luckily. So I got him for free every time. And then that team that I was playing for, we actually got relegated that season, but then was offered to go back for the next year. But it was a team that was based on an island just off of the mainland.
Oh.
And only like a couple of hundred Crazy. People lived there. We had gone there to play against that team the previous season and you had to just get a boat across and or else you could fly on one of those little propeller planes. So the year before we'd gone across and the team went over and back in the same day, but I wanted to stay and like explore the island a little bit, so I said I'll do one more night and then I'll come back afterwards. Didn't the biggest bloody storm ever like hit man. The island and I was stranded on it
for how
so
long?
For like 3 or 4 days.
Oh my goodness.
Yikes.
Yeah, and couldn't get back because there were no crossings. The boat wouldn't sail. So then I had to fork out like hundreds of pounds to get back to the mainland via plane, which still probably wasn't safe to fly. But I was like, get me off this island. And then I still considered playing for that team the next season because they invited me over for a trial and they wanted to sign me. And I signed the contract to say that I would play and then changed my mind like a couple of weeks later. And then they were like, you owe us money because you signed a contract. But I just ignored them and eventually they went away.
I'm loving this. This is like a whole, I feel like I'm like getting to know my friend so much better now.
This is what Piers Morgan feels like.
The funny thing is, like the Icelandic bailiffs just won't come to art. So they're not getting that money back.
Like. And it was kind of in that period, like there was a load of things going on. Like I'd met Michael and we had started seeing each other again whenever I got home and was like, I don't know if I could do that distance again. Then I'd really started getting into CrossFit. And so it was like, oh, I don't know if I want to pursue football now. And had started to go down that path a little bit too. So I didn't go back to Iceland.
What you don't know is that Mike went over to Iceland for you.
I paid the debt.
The equalizer went over.
The equalizer. Yeah.
It's just Ragna coming home Cara, do you know what's wrong with the car?
10 out of 10 on the Icelandic accent.
What are you talking about? What? I haven't driven the car since I got here. Like, I just love that.
Mad.
Yeah.
Can you ask a sports question? Because I feel really underqualified to ask it.
Yeah, I was like talking to Cara about sports just because Mike's just not as good as Cara.
Well, he plays darts.
Yeah, well.
Did you not hear that segment?
Don't forget the 5-a-side. He's an athlete. Monday night.
Is darts a sport?
Is chess a sport?
It's a game. They're games.
Yeah, they're games.
Darts is a game, not a sport.
Is football a game?
I mean, we'd consider darts a game, but it is considered a sport.
Yeah, so anyway.
All sports a game, really, if you think about it.
Fun fact about Northern Ireland, Cara, and Northern Irish football.
Right.
She's the youngest capped senior footballer in history.
Yeah, male or female?
In history. Yeah,
you're fulfilling your role here.
Is there not something that now that the rules have changed, you'll hold on to that record forever?
Yeah, I think you're there's like a minimum Peters. Age now. Yeah.
You're unbeatable.
she was like 11 playing for the senior ladies or something.
Yeah, I think the minimum age is 16 to play for the seniors now, and I was 15 on 121 days. So
crazy.
Don't forget the 121 days.
I'll never.
Yeah.
Sir.
It's important.
So like a massive part of your life is sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was first introduced to you, you were a CrossFitter and you're a damn good one at that. And like I remember actually having a really good, me and Mike both had a conversation with you about this and the same, I remember it. And there was this, you know, significant pivot over to football. Then you went into football, done your knee in, had to do this monster rehab. So like you're at the other end of that now. What does the next few years of sports look like for you as a very talented sports person?
At the minute, I'm saying that, yes, I'm giving my all to football. At the minute, that looks like playing for Glentoran here and hopefully representing Northern Ireland. We've just come off the back of like a mega successful sort of 2 years in making it to the Euros and setting ourselves up on a huge platform now. And we have, you know, we've set our goals pretty high to make it back to a major tournament. So there's going to be a lot of change and transition to try and make that happen again. And it's going to be damn hard because a lot of things went our way, I suppose, to make that happen in the first place. But once you get a taste for that, you know, you want to make it back there. And for some of us, like, we weren't fortunate to play. Like for myself, I suffered an injury about 6 weeks prior to the Euros starting. So yeah, Northern Ireland were there. I was there in a different capacity from a punditry point of view, but I never actually got to set foot on the pitch playing in a major tournament. So
park the bus right there, the metaphorical bus. It stopped. What was going through your head like 6 weeks pre-Euros? Like, you're a capable player. You're probably on the starting 11 most, if not all, the time. What's going through your head now that you've just made this massive pivot? You've went into the sport that you love. You've got injured 6 weeks out from the biggest competition of your life. Like, how do you traverse that?
I think at the time it was nearly like a numbness. It really didn't like properly sink in. And I think part of me was just like, this is so typical. You know, and I just was like, of course this happened to me. I think I just like felt sorry for myself for a bit and was like, oh, this is so typical. Like, I'm always like, I've been injury prone, I've had injuries throughout my career, like pretty significant ones that have kept me out for a long period of time. And I was like, oh, I've been here before, I've dealt with it, and I'll just deal with it again. So maybe part of me just like ignored the kind of emotional side, and I didn't really open up to how I was really feeling, and kind of just tried to close that off and be like, yep, just get the head down, just rehab again, just do it all again. It's just the same as any other injury that you've kind of had.
Does it still sit with you now?
I think because I had such a positive experience and for what that then allowed me to do, getting into punditry and everything, part of me is like, I'm okay that happened.
Isn't it so crazy? Like, I know it's the whole cliche of, you know, saying of one door closes but another door opens. I was sitting watching TV, I remember clear as day, and Cara was on TV. And I text, I don't know if I text who I text. I was like, what the F?
Yeah.
What? Because I didn't know. Like, she's just a quiet operator. She just go about her business and not do too much screaming and shouting, you know, whereas I'm very different. So, like, that took me by such a surprise. The first time I seen you doing punditry, I was like, this feels right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Did you have that same feeling?
Yeah, I think I did. I think I was quietly confident that I could do a pretty good job at it. Like through school and stuff, I think I was always someone who was like happy to step up and like read something, or, you know, if something needed, you know, whenever you got into those little groups and you were like, right, you have to nominate someone to come and deliver the presentation or the thing.
I don't want to get you out of that.
I was always happy to put myself forward for stuff like that and was confident enough in myself to kind of, yeah, just step forward. And I think if you've done the research, you've done the work and you're knowledgeable enough, then I think I was confident enough that I could deliver that.
I'd say it was another way for you to express that passion that ultimately does define you. And what I mean by that is, like, playing.
Is that like the virus slogan or something?
No, it literally is. But so I'm embodying it, and then it came back in my head. So like, but like, you still probably got that opportunity to express yourself through the sport. It just might not have been in the way that you thought you would be. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely.
And do you reckon, like, punditry then going forward is going to be something you're going to keep on the cards?
Coaching has never been the route that I would have wanted to take.
Why is that?
We know.
Somebody sneezes.
She's like, I'm done.
An under 14-year-old player has had her nose broken on a football pitch.
Just pass it to her feet.
I'd say it's something that I could do. You know, like, you could go and get your coaching badges and I could have a half good go at it, I suppose, but it doesn't drive me. It doesn't, like, I'm not passionate about it. And I know plenty of people who get into coaching probably for the wrong reasons and end up absolutely hating it. And
that's a really good point. Yeah.
It's just not for me. So, yeah, that's definitely, like, that media side is where I would see myself going.
Yeah. It's nothing against teachers, but I think a lot of people, like, there aren't necessarily defined career paths for people once they leave certain professions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, for athletes, it's like, what do you do after the sport?
And people think good athletes make good coaches.
They don't. Definitely not true.
Not true at all.
You know that in the business world.
Yeah.
Like, a good entrepreneur is not necessarily a good manager and vice versa.
Definitely not.
Even from a CrossFit point of view, like, I coach CrossFit. I actually do enjoy doing that side of it. Obviously not as much as competing, but I look at other coaches within the gym, even that I coach in, and they're not at the level of athlete that I am. So then people maybe would look to me and think that they would listen to what I have to say maybe over someone else because I can, like, walk the walk as such,
mm-hmm.
And because I can, you know, I've competed and all that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
I've got the authority, yeah, yeah. And people just kind of put me maybe on a pedestal a little bit, but, like, they're are far better coaches who are not as good a CrossFitter maybe as I am.
Yeah.
I think that's a really, really valuable soundbite, especially in the sport that we're in, you know, well, that I'm predominantly in of CrossFit. It's like, good athletes don't make good coaches.
Mm.
And, like, there's actual good examples of that happening right now where, like, there are incredible athletes coaching and, you know, with all due respect, it's a bit balls,
mm-hmm.
You yep. know. But, you know, they can leverage their name and they can leverage that, you know, a lot easier. Like, you
said. I looked at Michael as a coach.
For
and
sure. Yeah.
The way that you just can relate to people and get on their level. And those are the skills, it's those softer skills that you need, communication skills. And they're all the things that I would love to emulate, but can't.
Good facilitator.
And then.
Our Mike.
So we can wrap that up, but with Mike. What's the future for you?
Well,
like,
I'm just keeping the beat.
No, for real.
In what context? Like,
you know, I mean, probably just like, you know, what is the next 3 years look like for you in general? And I don't need to even lay that out anymore because you can answer that from a lot of perspectives.
Mm. Okay, on a personal level, I think just committing to bettering myself from a physical kind of point of view. So
I kind of go through phases of like enjoying exercise and training and all that sort of thing, but I feel like I'm in a great place now, physically and mentally, which is massive for me. That kind of allows me to just be the best exerciser or trainer that I can be, which I love because I don't feel like I compare myself to anyone else. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the past, I always have. So physically, I want to be the best version in terms of like fitness and health. Cold showers, I want to do that, Matt. We were talking about that this morning. Cara's like clenching her teeth and all here, doesn't get it. So that, like making a conscious effort to better myself.
You ever been to Blue Lock?
No.
You should go, you'd really enjoy it.
What's that?
It's a little tiny lake up the Mourns. It's very, very cold.
Is it deep?
It's deep enough to swim.
Oh. Oh, I'd probably avoid that.
Oh, I don't think you would like it then. I was only joking.
Yeah, okay. No, I could dip and dunk and stuff.
But you're not a swimmer. Not a swimmer. Where you can't feel the bottom.
No, not for me.
You could stay in the shallow end.
Yeah,
I think fine. You'd enjoy it.
Yeah.
We should do it.
Okay.
All of us.
So that's the personal thing from a working and kind of business point of view. I'm just enjoying where I'm at right now.
Mm.
And I think I just want to kind of like suck up as much as I can and learn as much as I can, because at some point I'm going to want to do my own thing again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just kind of consider myself to be in like a real learning phase at the minute. And like there's points where like I'm working with people and I'm like, oh, you should do this a different way. But I'm just being humble and following their lead, and I'm happy to do that. So that's kind of a nice place to be. I'm kind of working on little projects as well, just to kind of keep myself busy and occupied. So that's kind of fun too.
Got to be the addict.
Yeah.
Got to.
Exactly. So yeah, I'm currently just doing a few wee bits around the house, because at some point we'll probably stick it on the market and yeah, we'd like to move and stuff. So yeah, as long as I'm tinkering, I'm happy.
That's a good way to put it.
It's a good slogan.
Yeah, it is. And yeah, you know, it's a far cry from what you've been used to for the last, you know, say 5 or 6 years with having so many projects.
Yeah.
And always switching your focus. But now, you know, you've got one role, you know, in your current work, and then you've got all these other projects. And I'd say that's probably nice for you.
Yeah. Well, it is quite nice, because I'm not like, I think in the past when I've been like my own boss and stuff, I've been just like really busy and always going and always moving, but like at the minute I'm just enjoying a slower pace and
great, mate,
just taking it all in. Like,
it's nice to enjoy a bit of financial stability as well, because like big everybody time. All know who's ever tried to start something up or run their own business, that you know, grim. You're yeah, it's grim. Grim, it's tough, really yeah, really tough.
Well,
take us home, do it.
Yeah, so kind of a bit of normality we have on the show, one consistent thing is we ask every guest what, so Matt's really good at kind of setting this up, whereas I am not.
You've butchered it already.
Oh, I've butchered it. Okay. So
I think you're doing a good job.
Like the barber last week.
Did you cut somebody's hair?
I'll go full Matt here, right?
Can we avoid the question?
Can we stop talking about my really, really bad haircut?
Yo, producer Pringles, can you cut that?
Do not zoom in on the fade, bro. No, I'm only joking.
Did you cut your own hair right now?
No, but it looks like I did.
He actually paid for it.
Because I was going to say, if that's a self job, that's a good job.
Here, well, listen, I did pay money for this, but I'm not happy. That's all we'll say.
Would you like to name and shame the barber live on?
No. Air? Not at all.
You're a man of integrity. I like that.
because Portland's a small place, and I'm Italian. And
you don't want to mess with some
of those. You've already said too much. You've already said
too much. As it could be.
Yeah.
Here, and I bet you they don't pay tax.
I bet you
paid them cash.
There is no. I actually paid via booking up.
Well, then you know exactly who it is.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I just doxed him.
He's just been kicked out of his house.
They're hijacking my show here. But no, one thing Matt says and asks to everybody that comes on is, you know, if you could take 3 minutes, Mike, with yourself, your 18-year-old self, and you had 3 minutes to sit on a park bench, and he had nowhere to be, nowhere to go, and you had an opportunity to bestow onto him some worldly wisdom that you now know, what would that be?
Oh, well, I'd probably tell him, me, what, third person?
It's, no. It's he slash they, I okay. suppose, yeah.
What pronouns are we tell- using?
I would tell him.
Whoa.
Whoa, just make sure.
Whoa, I can't believe. We're going to get cancelled after that. Oh my goodness.
Sheesh, I don't know whether to take this seriously or not.
No, do.
I would tell myself not to take things too seriously. Yeah. I'd tell myself to just try and be in the here and now and not always look to the next thing. Yeah, life can be hard enough sometimes. So kind of the more present you are, I think the better you can kind of handle things. But then also on that, it's kind of having like a wide angle perspective of things that like, yes, okay, like this moment right here might be tough, but when you zoom out, it's just a moment, like that's all it is. Mm-hmm. Things change, things improve, so just don't get caught up in the tough stuff. But then also, like, I could just keep going here.
Yeah.
Like, see, I think one of my things as well is, like, not celebrating the wins.
Oh, yeah.
So, and that kind of comes back to what we were saying way back. Like, I'll celebrate other people's wins much easier than I will my own, because I just don't like the attention being on me. And, like, going years back, I probably would have.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just, like, taking your small wins and just enjoying them. So, yeah, have at it.
And then see, you're out in the football pitch. It's a lovely Sunday morning. It's quiet. You've just played. You're like, oh, I'll go take some shots. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, 18-year-old you rock up to do the exact same thing.
And you're like, what are you doing drinking in this park?
So you're getting your boots on. You've got 5 minutes with them. What worldly wisdom do you bestow upon younger Cara?
I've talked about this a couple of times. People might have heard me say this before, but for like so much of my early life, I just placed my entire identity in who I was as a sports person. Anytime someone came up to me to talk to me about something, it was, how's football going? When's your next game? Da da da, that kind of thing. So I felt like when I wasn't that person, and when injuries have come, and when I haven't been able to play, I've just been like, who am I? I don't know who I am outside of that. Didn't really give myself an awful lot of worth outside of that. And I went through a period of not playing for like 4 years. Whenever I was growing up, I thought I didn't play for like 4 years and didn't know whether I'd ever play again. And all I knew in life was sports. And I was like, I have all of this potential. Like, I really think that I could be such a high achiever in sports. Like, I could go to the Olympics or whatever. And when that all seemed to like come crashing down and that I wasn't going to achieve that, I was like so gutted and disappointed. And I didn't know who I was without sport. So I think I would say to myself early on to kind of just figure out who you really are. Focus on who you're becoming as opposed to everything that you're trying to achieve. And try not to define yourself as just Cara, the sports person, because eventually that will be gone. And say 10, 15 years, whenever I'm not playing sports, I have to have something else there, or else I'm kind of just going to fall apart if I don't have that. So don't place your identity in that. I'm still trying to achieve big goals. I want to still go after stuff, but also not allowing those goals to kind of get in the way of who I'm becoming as a person and developing outside of that, because I'm so glad that I made the decision not to go off to Iceland again and pursue that, because that would have stopped then Michael and I probably forming that relationship that we did. And I'm so glad that I stayed at home and didn't go off to pursue that, because that was a life decision. And I'm so glad that I, you know, did that and didn't go, well, if I just come back and play in Northern Ireland, then it means that I can never go off and play professionally. You know, it's still a dream of mine to be a professional footballer, whether that's here or somewhere else, I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad now that we can do that together, and I didn't close that door just to be selfish and sort of pursue things for myself.
Awesome.
That was brilliant.
I'm proud of everybody.
Yeah. Go team.
Yeah, honestly, great job co-hosting. Thank Loved you. That. That was a thank pleasure. You. Mike and Cara, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
Love that. Thank you. Thank you.
Pringles.
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 Pringles. Yes. Crack open the gin, boy.